Hello and welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is Danielle Emmerman, CMO here at The Reflective, and today we are joined by Nacia Miller. Nacia is amazing. She is an organization and relationship systems coach, which sounds like a mouthful, and that's because it is. I'll wait and have Nacia tell you more about the work that she does, but just know that you are in store for an unreal episode. You're going to walk away with awareness tools to better understand your values, what you're committed to, what you want to be aligned with, and ultimately how you can apply that to modesty. So without further ado, let's get into conversation. First and foremost, who are you? Give us a little background.
I am, this is a mouthful, everyone get ready. I am an organization and relationship systems coach. So I coach different kinds of relationships, both people that have existing ones like teams and groups, communities, and then also within ourselves, right? Like individuals, we have relationships with ourselves, and then the work that I get to do with individuals on their own relationships. And I get to throw in some couples also, which is fun. So I am a coach and facilitator. And an educator, so creating different types of experiences and spaces for people to drop in and like deeply, I'll tell you my mission. My mission in life is for us all to feel at home in ourselves and at home in the world. And I do that through a facet of different ways with different people.
Wow. Okay. I want you to remember that phrase. You want people to feel at home with themselves and at home in the world, because we're going to come back to that when we touch on, you know, a little bit of the intersection between what you do and modesty. I think that would be a great intro to circle back into it. But to get there, I think it's so important to understand your relationship to modesty and, you know, your connection to it. Have you always dressed modestly? What has your modest experience really looked like, and how has it evolved over time? Let's break it down, starting with, I guess, high level.
Yeah, so I love this conversation, and it's fascinating because I also, like, in addition to a lot of the different coaching that I do with individuals and groups and teams, I also love ritual. Like, on my profile on Instagram, it says, like, ritual enthusiast. I'm obsessed with ritual. Intentionality is my middle name. So I'm always thinking about how that can elevate our lives. And I think that I'm going to come back to the modesty piece, because I have like a sub-brand of my Wide Open Spaces, my business. And my sub-brand is Twisted Ritual, and like bringing together the ancient wisdom of like where this comes from, tradition, like really getting out like some, you know, the millions of people and experiences that have happened around that ritual, and then our personal connection to it, like today, and how do those merge together? And I feel like we'll break that down around how that relates to my modesty. So let's start with where it all started. I have felt really comfortable. Like I never fought against being modest, wearing modest clothes, speaking modestly. It came very naturally to me to kind of like follow in a certain path. I'll tell you, I grew up, I don't love labels, but for intensive purposes, I grew up in a modern Orthodox community in Chicago. And I went to a pluralistic day school where I was the only person in my grade who kept Shabbat and kosher to like an Orthodox observance level. And I did not own one. I went to high school at a modern Orthodox high school, and I did not own one skirt going into high school. So when we're talking about modesty, what does it even mean? What is, for everyone, it's going to be different. And so I would say in the community I grew up in, most of the people wore, you know, skirts to their knees, shirts to their elbows. I would say like that is kind of the community I was surrounded by. My family definitely being an outlier, we like don't really fall in any box. And I remember that experience of having to go shopping for skirts, because you had to wear skirts in my high school, and I literally didn't own a skirt.
I would love to hear more about, you know, your journey towards modesty. Like, when did it start? Kind of what was that experience like?
Can we define journey toward modesty?
Journey towards modesty. I think, you know, every day and every experience is a journey towards something. You know, me right now, what am I moving towards? I'm moving towards growing and becoming a better version of myself tomorrow than I was yesterday. And, you know, that can be very abstract and very meta, but I think when you break it down into micro goals and micro topics and micro areas of your life, you can be moving towards something in every area. You spoke about intention earlier. I think intention is the perfect way to describe a lot of this growth that we're talking about. Really, growth is about bringing intention to yourself and recognizing areas that you want to work on. So maybe a better way to start this conversation would be firstly to even define modesty for yourself.
Modesty. I was journaling about this for a while and it's wild. I so appreciate this conversation because it's something I've done and thought of in different ways, but I've never really had defined what it meant for me, and I've definitely named it as a value of mine. So thank you for this. And what I really got to was modesty being an invitation for me to check in with how I'm showing up in my life, why I'm showing up in that way. So it's an invitation for me to check in with my intentions and what's behind the intention of why I'm doing something and what I'm committed to and what I'm committed to in how I am and how I feel going out into the world, in how I show up in my speaking and in my expression. And, you know, I think back in the day, I probably would have defined modesty as like covered up or almost like making myself a little smaller. And today I wouldn't describe it that way. I wouldn't define it that way. It feels like actually a way of expression. And by the way, this is part of my journey within modesty, which is not where I was many years ago, but where I am today is, what does it look like for me to be fully expressed in my body and in my speech while still feeling like I am honoring people and space around me? Like I am very conscious of what I wear and what parts of my body I show. And like for me, it's important to check in with in different spaces and with in different places, different parts of me get to be shared and shown. And that is the opportunity and the value of modesty for me, is an opportunity to constantly be checking in with that and checking in with my balance around am I quieting myself in some way? Am I exposing myself in a way that doesn't feel in integrity with myself? And so it's this constant balance of asking myself those questions.
I love that so much, because what you're really saying is that for you, your relationship to modesty is one of awareness, a high degree of self-awareness, and I guess intuition and intention. Like you're really tapping into how you feel and how you relate to yourself in whatever space you're in. And I think that is real true modesty in so many ways, because modesty at the end of the day, not even at the end of the day, first and foremost, is a relationship. It's a relationship to yourself. It's a relationship to how you relate to other people. It's how you relate to God, if that's why you're dressing modestly. And all of those things really boil down to awareness. Like you can't have a relationship without having awareness, because then that's not a relationship. Right. That's being a robot. So I think really I'll backpedal, and my question is not necessarily what did your relationship or what did your experience in your journey towards modesty look like, but rather like, how did you develop this awareness? Like, were you always this self-aware and in tune with your body, or is it something that you really had to
cultivate? Also, I'm so sensing that this is a, even just the way we keep like backpedaling and moving, this is a messy conversation. I just want to name it because it's like, I really feel like we're like dissecting something right now that's so real. And as for everyone listening, if this feels like a messy conversation for you, like join in, like life is messy and we move through. Like this is such a like such an experience of my life and how I work with awareness, really, and becoming aware is embracing the messy, and so I appreciate Danielle this this space to do that with you. Was I always aware? I mean, I started this right from the first thing I said to you today is, boy, I was born sensitive. I mean, to the max. I was born with eczema. I was born like sensitive to foods and metals. And like, I used to think I had like plastic stuck in my throat, or like one time there was a bug in my eye and then I would always think I had bugs in my eye. I was just like a very sensitive being. So my level of awareness was high. And it was, I really felt it was a kryptonite for so much of my life. Too sensitive to this in that way until, you know, I really stepped into, oh my gosh, how can I actually be of service in this way? How is this actually for me, Hashem, God, giving this to me as my superpower to do something good in this world? So yes, my awareness has always been very heightened, but I would also say, and that's why I'm really grateful talking about my mom and my dad too, that just like the way that they are in both like owning their strengths and who they are and standing strong and confident and proud and doing, and it's like that's just the way that they modeled life. And so that definitely, that modeling was then always attuned for me. Like, oh, this is the standard by which we live at, where we ask questions and we ask the why and we connect and we're always checking in. There's always like a check-in around like what's working, what's not. I had to change schools in second grade. I went to, you know, camps where I was the only Jewish person and my mom would ask them on special days when they had barbecues and things what the menu was. And then she would give us the same food. And so I would have, because I keep kosher. So she would make sure to have the same food. So it's even just the awareness around those experiences. And it was done with love. So the awareness was never a place of rebellion. It was always like, oh, what's this? How do I connect to it?
Sounds like you have really incredible parents. I am, wow, that's impressive. That's just like the degree of attention that they brought into your life. I mean, I think that's so special. And it's when you have such a loving home and you have such a loving model for how to relate to these various aspects of your life, especially when it comes to religion. I think that's, you know, it really sets the tone for how you will, you know, grow and relate to future endeavors in your life. I think that's incredible. I'm wondering if there was ever a point of not tension, but struggle.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my relationship with modesty has continued to have a contentious point. I think, first of all, my mom always wore, even like she wears pants, but she wears like looser pants. Like she was always super aware of a sense of modesty in her dress and like what we would wear to the beach or pool. Like I was never, we never wore bikinis. It was just like something we didn't do. There was just like, so there was this like kind of that level, but there was definitely contention around like wanting to wear tighter things or shorter things or et cetera, and seeing other people doing that. And grappling with myself around why I wanted to do that, how I would, I only wear skirts and dresses. And so it's still a question I'm asking myself all the time, like going to different parties where people are wearing much different things. And then here I am showing up covered in a way that nobody else is and feeling like, I think I just like don't fit in here. And so most places I'm still feel that all the time around like, I don't fit in here. I remember actually, and I writing a piece around my relationship with beach wear, like what I wear to the pool and beach, because I love the water. It's the most grounding place in the world for me. And I have so had so much tension and struggle around what I wear because I want to feel confident and beautiful and sexy. And also the modesty piece around like what I show. And this is for me, everyone, I respect everyone's journey around this and what that means for them. But for me, wanting to also be covered, because for me, consistency is a value of mine. And so if I'm wearing this around the world, then suddenly when I'm at the beach, I'm not, for me, it just felt very inconsistent. And I still am grappling with it. I'll tell you that right now. But one, I have a hilarious story. I was in Israel, I was in Tel Aviv on the beach. And I was wearing, at the time I was wearing like a rash guard top and like a men's, like a funky pattern men's like bathing suit shorts. Like longer pair. And someone came up to me and asked me why I'm dressed that way and was wondering if it was because there are jellyfish in the water and if I was like protecting myself from the jellyfish. And I was embarrassed. I felt out of place and embarrassed a lot in my life because most of the circles that I'm in are not people who, either observe Judaism the same way or aren't Jewish, etc., which is my humans, my people I love, and my community. And that oftentimes means I'm an outlier in terms of how I dress and show up. So there's a lot of, there is insecurity for me around it. At the same time, the consistency and the connection, you know, I continue to then move, right? It's like, it's this journey of, okay, so wait, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Asking myself those questions and reconnecting to it. And I know that's just modesty around dress and tension, but that's where it comes up the most for me.
You mentioned consistency, which I think is so interesting as a value. Can you speak more to why that's a value for you and what that means in your life?
When I think about the word integrity, I'm going to bring it back. We're going to go values, people, deep values here. Integrity, when I'm talking about integrity, I'm not meaning good or bad. I'm meaning what we might refer to like in structural integrity. Like, it will the building stand? Does it work, right? It doesn't mean it's good or bad. So is it workable? And so, like, for example, I'll just give a quick example just to make sure we're all on the same page, everyone listening. You know, when you're supposed to hand something in like homework and you don't do the homework and then you show up to class and you're like in your head sitting at the desk being like, I didn't do the homework, I'm not going to be able to follow along and I didn't read the book or whatever it is. It's, you're out of integrity, not good or bad, not right or wrong. It just doesn't work because you're not then present in the class with the conversation that's happening. So it just doesn't work. So when I think about consistency, I think about my integrity, like, does it work? And when I choose to do something and then do something else that then isn't aligned with my values but like feels good or something like I kind of just want, for me, that I feel out of integrity with myself. I feel like that almost like a little like confused on why I'm doing that thing and what really matters to me. It like takes me out of my living my life from a values place. And so for me and my relationship with Judaism, I trust that there's something that I don't understand. Like, I do certain things within Judaism from a place of trust and belief and really connect to the laws as a way of elevating my life, really feeling like for me, God and like all of these sages, like we're onto something. Like life can be challenging, and like here's a blueprint, and here's things that like to really support you in continuing to be your best, right? That's what we're talking about earlier. So part of that for me is consistency. What do I want to live by? What are the values? And this is what I believe so much in my work around coming home to yourself. We talked about that earlier. For me, I believe coming home to ourselves is, can I articulate my values and then use them as guideposts? And in moments when I feel like, what do? I could come back to, these are my pillars of values. And when I do that, I'm not just living in the like, what do I want to do now? It's almost like from an anxious place. It's like, no, from a really grounded, like meaning, purpose-centered place. And that means sometimes I'm going to do something that I don't really want to do. I wish I would want to do something else. And it keeps me in integrity and connected with myself and my and purpose and something bigger than me.
What you just said is so important and is so missing from so many people's lives. I really feel like this is a repeated theme that I've been noticing in my own conversations. And that is that when we speak about modesty and when we speak about modest journeys, right? Like you even had me break it down and define it because it can be very different for everybody. We stress that it's so important to take things on, to move towards your goal or your endpoint slowly and in a way that feels right and feels good to you. But at that same time, as important as it is to feel good, to feel authentic, to feel true to yourself, that can't be it. You can't just feel good. We're in a very feel-good culture. And I think this is another potentially like, ooh, messy kind of conversation, but it's so important to bring down consistency, to bring down your values, and to recognize that you can't just feel good all the time. Life is hard and you will be tested, and there will be scenarios that you are greeted by that are meant to stretch you a bit. And it's not going to feel good, but you're going to move through them because you're upholding your values. And I think this is the perfect transition to get into, how do you come home to yourself? How do you identify your values? How do you recognize them? And how do you move through them wherever you go in life?
When I really actually feel aligned in my values, that is when I feel good. Like the difference between like immediate gratification and like a little longer, it's like actually, because when I'm just making like, let's say an immediate choice of like, oh, I want to wear that bikini. I just like want to feel sexy and do that, right? Versus like, oh, this is okay. It's a little edgy. I'm like wearing this thing way more layers than what a lot of other people, my friends are wearing. And that takes an edge for me to do that, but I'm like aligned with myself and like what feels like what, and I also still feel beautiful and sexy in what I wear because that's part of the journey coming out soon and like how I got there. But I do think that that is the ultimate way of like, instead of like, I feel like at peace, I feel like deeply connected to myself, and that's feel good. Like that's like the feel good that lasts. So I just want to pin that. This isn't like you sacrifice feeling good for your values thing. So I would say, how do you come home to yourself? This is the work. I'm doing it every day. I do it with my clients every day. I do think it starts at values. How do you get to values? I have done some really fun work with values with my clients over the last number of months. And one of my favorites was, I do group coaching pods with women and men, to like separate groups where everyone's working toward their own, towards like taking back the power in their lives and feeling in their power. And everyone's doing that in different ways, but we're all doing it together. So I did this beautiful experience, and you guys can all do this at home too. Kind of like rapid fire. What are the top three stores that you shop at? If you could go anywhere right now on a vacation, where would you go? Who are the like three people in your life, and what are some of the qualities about them? Like, I had like a whole list of tons of questions. How do you spend your time? How do you wish you would spend your time? If you have a Sunday off, how would you spend it? If you have like an evening, how would you spend that? And looking at the data of your life. And the question that we initially asked was, what do you think your values are? And I did this with a client yesterday. Ooh, it was so freaking juicy. Where she like named the things that are her values, or was talking also about her partner. And then it was like, and this is the question I love to ask, and I love to ask myself, am I living my values? Are you living the values you say you're living? And the way to really check that out. Oh, another question, if you're writing these down for rapid fire, is organizations that you donate to or want to. Also, fill in the blank. When I see someone struggling with X, like I like what you really care about, like what struggle, when you see someone in the world struggling with what do you really care about? And these are indicators to really look and say like, oh, I shop at, you know, whatever you shop. And you're like, but my values are this. Like, that's actually not aligned. And this is how we get back in integrity and at home, is like owning, I really care about these things and I'm not living them. Okay, well then why do I feel disconnected from myself? And then suddenly you can either look at two things. Number one, maybe that's not actually what I value, but it's what I was told I was supposed to value. And or how do I get aligned? No, this really is what I value. But how do I actually get aligned and make some different choices to feel an integrity and connected with my values? Can I share a story? Yeah. Okay. I remember a moment. I was in Colorado this past summer in Breckenridge. And I've not struggled to like keep kosher. For me, that's actually feels like, okay, this is what I do. And I live vicariously through smells and reading menus and things like that. But I was in Breckenridge and I was starving because I really didn't bring tons of food with me. And I was really hungry. And I remember walking back to where I was staying, and there was like a pizza shop. And I smelled this like warm pizza, and I remember I stopped in that moment and I was like, you know, I could go and get I've literally never done this in my life, but I was like, I could go and get a piece of pizza and no one would literally ever know. And I was like, this is one of those moments where I actually get to choose from my values, because literally no one would know. And it was this beautiful reminder of how my values guide my life. And I'm like, oh no, you know what? I'm going to go and like find some like hummus and chips and some fruit, and I'm going to like do my thing and like stick with like what's really important to me and my values. It's not about, you know, what's seen. It's about my internal world and my integrity. And it was like the guiding of like being able to say like, oh, what are my values? Oh, got it. Okay. That's how I make my choice. Because in certain moments, it can be really challenging to make choices. But if you know what your pillars are, and this is what I believe is the antithesis for connection in this world. Because Danielle, if you come to a conversation and be like, these are my values, this is what I really care about. And not from a place of like, I need to defend them, but from a place of like, ooh, these are my values. This is what I connect to in my life. And I come with the same thing, then when we have a conversation and things are going to be different, the threat isn't there anymore. Because I'm at home in my values. I'm like, this is what I believe in, because I'm connected to them and not just saying them or thinking them or et cetera, versus like, I need to defend this because I don't feel confident in this area.
That is huge. And I think we should repeat that so it really sinks in.
When we feel at home, feel connected and confident about our values, which means doing the work, looking at them, making choices, being aware, checking yourself, right? It's the daily small micro moments. And I feel at home and confident with what I show up with. And then you feel the same way when we show up in conversation, and then there are differences in political views, ideological views, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can actually have a conversation because I'm not coming ready with my arms up in armor of threat and needing to defend, and neither are you. So we actually get to have a conversation. We're not trying to convince each other of anything, but we're connecting on our values and what we see for the world, or what we want for the world.
So much conflict stems from people just not knowing who they are and what they believe in, and being insecure.
Yeah, I have a friend who is she actually connects to paganism, like, and for her, like, Mother Earth is like a god, divine, and really, really thinks that organized religion is like strangling the world. And here I am coming with like a really strong connection to my Judaism, my practices, and I say no to certain things because of certain laws, et cetera, et cetera. And we have the most epic conversations and love each other so much. And that feels like the ultimate example of this, where we do not see eye to eye on so many things. But actually, when we dig, we have so many of the same values, and we show up like ready to receive and push each other and challenge each other. And that happened from the beginning of our friendship. So it wasn't like that even built. It was just like the way we both came with that sense in both of us and that openness.
I want to dive so deep and so hard into this and like dissect every single component. But for the sake of time, we're definitely going to have to do a part two and really break down awareness tools and break down just how to come home to yourself and how to come home to your relationships and every facet of your life. For conversation's sake, can we shift into how we can apply this to modesty? How do we come home to our relationship to modesty? How do we identify our values as it applies to modesty, and how to incorporate that into practice? Beautiful.
I love this conversation so much. I have to say, this feels very edgy for me, this whole conversation, because this is the stuff I keep very close to me, and very often really don't share a lot. I've never shared this publicly, like my relationship to modesty, some of my value stuff, because I'm very also understanding that people have such different ways of going about this, and my way and what I feel about my own relationship is not anything that I'm putting on anybody else. And I respect everyone's journey around this immensely. So I just want to say that. And so I think that coming home to your relationship with modesty, let's use the tools that we've been talking about, you know, awareness and intentionality straight up. First of all, do the values exercise, go back, pause, write down the rapid fire questions, pause, write them down, do this. DM me on Instagram, Nasya.Miller, please, N-A-S-Y-A, because I want to help you work through this. I'm serious. It's like I'm such a champion for values work. Okay, so as you're moving through your day, even, for example, this is a great way to start coming home to this. Notice when you're walking into, when you're getting dressed in the morning, when you see yourself also in the mirror in the morning, like feeling also like in your body, like so much of this also like feeling like embodied, feeling like that we're not just these floating heads with our minds, but we have these like wonderful limbs and organs and bodies that have so much wisdom. So I think so much of this relationship with modesty is also like, how do you feel in your body? And when you're choosing to put something on, when you're choosing to say something or act in a certain way or show up, asking yourself, is this feeling, I was at acupuncture this morning and my acupuncturist, this is from Joe. Does this feel like it's weakening you, or does it feel like it's strengthening you? Another way of saying that is checking in with yourself and asking, like, does this feel good? Does this feel like this is empowering me for me? Or am I saying this, doing this, wearing this to get something from the outside? Right? We're all seeking some sort of, I'm a recovering people pleaser. I don't know if anyone else is out there. Wanting to be liked so I won't say the thing. Wanting to be liked so I will say a certain thing that I know will get a reaction. Wearing something so I fit in. Wearing something so I don't fit in. Right? So like checking in with the intention behind it. And then when we keep coming back to is, okay, but what am I committed to? Ooh, let's even start with that for a sec. Let's backpedal. Messy conversation, backpedaling. What am I committed to? And everyone gets to fill in that blank, and the blank also gets to shift. So what am I committed to around my relationship with modesty? Danielle, can we answer that, each of us, in this moment? Okay. I got to take a breath for a sec and check in with that. All right, let's all do that together. Everyone, we're all doing this and we're going to fill it out together. So let's all take a breath. I'll lead us through a breath. If you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. I am. And taking an inhale in through your nose. Holding your breath at the top. And then exhaling it all out of your mouth. And really checking in with bringing our bodies into the conversation and not just our heads. And listening for what is wanting to be created with you in your relationship with modesty. How do you want to feel in the world, in your body? How do you want to feel in your relationships? And that is a beautiful way to fill in that blank. So what showed up for me is playfulness. So my relationship with modesty, this is a cool way of diving into this. I'm committed to, in modesty, feeling a sense of like not taking myself too seriously, while also feeling connected to, for me, it is godly connected, actually, my relationship with modesty. So feeling connected to Hashem. And then there's also something around feeling powerful. And I actually feel powerful when I make choices around saying something, wearing something that I might look different out there. And it's scary, and I'm gonna do it anyway. It is countercultural. Like I'm wearing a lot more clothes than people a lot of times, and it feels edgy every time, really.
What came up for me was, I keep coming back to this word dignified. I think a few months ago I was cleaning out my closet. I just had way too much in there. It was toppling over onto me. Like every time I opened my closet door, clothes would throw up onto me. It was outrageous. I had to do a purge. And when I was trying stuff on and deciding, should I keep it? Should I toss it? I really tapped into a new awareness as far as how the clothes felt on my body. And I realized from the fabric to the silhouette, to really the feeling I have when I move through the world wearing the garment, I want to feel like royalty. I want to feel elegant. I want to feel secure and confident. And I think so often people can be so uncomfortable in what they wear. And I really want to feel comfortable. That's my so my relationship to modesty is like, I want to really feel so good about myself, so elevated, so in touch, with this higher purpose.
Mic drop. I am so inspired by that. Wow. I'm gonna be walking through like my life now, or like my day, my week, with this question, and I invite everyone listening to do the same. Maybe what our like my initial answer is now. I love that. Like, how do I want to feel in how I'm showing up, what I'm saying, what I'm wearing, for me?
It's all about coming home. I love that. I think that's really it, is who are we? What do we value? What are we committed to? And we can apply that to so many different areas. And this conversation is so full circle, because when we started defining, like, what does a modest journey even mean? Like, we went into journeys in the first place. And you can have so many siloed journeys in your life. And at the end of the day, what is a journey? It's going to a destination, and oftentimes that destination can be home, and that is always the end point, because you're always returning home.
Another way, if it's challenging for you to answer, like, what am I committed to around my relationship with modesty or my journey of modesty, it could be, how do I want to feel when I'm at home? How do I want to feel when I'm at home? Right, because some people, and I know this, some people have had really complicated relationships with that word, and didn't necessarily have homes growing up that felt playful, bold, nurturing, expressive, free, dignified, graceful, all of the things we might want to feel. So inviting you into, whether you had it or didn't, how do you want to feel? And that could be another way to fill that blank in.
I think that's beautiful. And I think it's also so interesting on the topic of home. Modesty is not about who you are and what you're wearing when you're out in a public setting. It's so much deeper than that. Really, we can explore modesty through the lens of, who are you when no one's watching? Who are you at home? Who are you at home? Who do you want to be at home? And how can you bring that version of yourself out into the world with you, so that you are completely integrated and aligned?
Yeah, the connection that starts here with yourself, and then you get to then build all of those. And we're doing it alongside. And that's the messiness of this journey, intensely. And I just also want to say, I know this can maybe feel like a lot, so just continue to break it down into micro actions. It's that one awareness as you walk in the room and you notice something about how you feel, or et cetera. It's the thing that you confidently say that you didn't want to say or choose to say differently. There's so many stories that are now coming up around how I'm grappling with modesty. So I just want to say, for the grappling also, this is a grappling journey. I definitely know that my relationship and journey with modesty, it's a part of who I am. It's like a big part that I'm really proud of, that I get to keep working toward it, even though I'm really challenged by it a lot.
There are so many questions we didn't get to. The biggest one, which is could be an entire episode, which I think it has to be now, is how can we use awareness tools with modesty as far as how it pertains to relationships? Because like you said, like, awareness tools can be used with yourself, with the relationships in your life, with, you know, your husband, your significant other, your friends, your coworkers, your family. How can we bring this back down to modesty?
I love it though, because part one is self. And part two is then other, which is perfect. So everyone go and practice this for self, so then we could come back for a part two. And then how do we bring it in more and more with other?
For everybody listening, before we started recording, Nacia really called me out. Like, I don't know what energy I had. Like, I was like, yeah, my caffeine hasn't hit. I think really I just needed this conversation, because it's The difference is palpable. I am in shock. I needed this. I feel like I have come back to myself. My energy is just in sync, restored. I feel like whatever acupuncture you had this morning, I'm like receiving some of the benefits. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I would love to share those. That's amazing. Agreed. And this is so juicy.
Thank you for listening to More Than a Hemline. Please shoot me an email at danielle@the-reflective.com with your thoughts and takeaways from this episode. I would absolutely love to hear from each and every one of you. And if there is ever any episode topic that you're curious about and would like to hear us discuss, or if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please email and get in touch. If you liked this episode, as always, please, please, please leave us a review and subscribe on the podcast player of your choice. The only way we can work towards making modesty mainstream is by amplifying our collective voice as a community. So please take a second to leave us a quick review and subscribe so we can move on up in the charts. Thank you so much, and we will see you back here next week.